We are working on a Wednesday evening study on the attributes of God, every Wednesday doing a different attribute. Nothing more important in life than knowing God. You can't control what happens to you, but it's up to you to how you respond to what happens to you. And what is the key to responding well to the challenges of life? It's knowing God and knowing Him well. And so we're just working through these different attributes of God. This is actually lesson 28. And tonight is going to be a part two, and you'll see that in a moment. I have up here God's sovereign and moral wills. And we're kind of being a little more specific. Last time we began with the topic of God's will. And let's just do a quick review, first of all, the definition. I'm taking this from MacArthur's book on Bible doctrine. God's will is His perfect determination and sovereign ordination of all things. So let's just pause there. What is that saying? All things, everything that takes place is determined and ordained by God. Okay? So that would be the beginning. Pertaining both to Himself, I'm going to skip the parentheses, and to His creation, all unto the magnification of His utmost glory. So if you said theologically is everything that takes place is God's will, theologically the answer would be yes, right? It's His perfect determination and sovereign ordination of all things, okay? And that would be just common doctrine of God's will. Sometimes we would call that God's decrees. I want to do a quick review of what we covered last time. God's will is the final or most ultimate reason for everything that happens. Ephesians 1:11, He works all things according to the counsel of His will. We're not going to put the verses up since I looked at them last time. Secondly, you might say, does it matter? I think so. This comforts us in times of suffering. Even our pain has a purpose. See, if you don't believe God's in control of everything, then when bad things happen, you're left in despair. You're left just cursing your bad luck. But if you understand a biblical doctrine of sovereignty, that God is a God who decrees all that takes place, then you could know there's a purpose even to pain. Suffering is not meaningless. This comforts us in times of suffering. Even our pain has a purpose. Now, we also covered last week two cautions related to God's will. So real quick, these two. First of all, God is never the author of evil and does not take pleasure in evil. So some people would say, okay, if God ordains all that takes place, that includes Him ordaining evil. Of course it does. That means He's the author of evil. He is not, okay? And those would just be things to wrestle through, all right? God is never the author of evil. He does not take pleasure in evil. And secondly, some would say if God is over all and He is sovereign over all, then it doesn't matter what I do. And I would say you couldn't be further wrong or distant from the truth, because our sovereign God declares that we are responsible for the choices we make. God's sovereign will does not negate human responsibility, okay? And I know I'm going quickly, but that's a review from last time as we talk about God's will. Those are heavy ideas, okay? Those are things that we could spend a lot of time thinking about. That was last week, though. I want to move on to something new today, still under God's will. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law. I'd like you just to think about that verse a little bit. The secret things, what are those? Well, that is basically contrasted with revealed things. There are things that are secret, and there are things that are revealed. So the secret things belong to the Lord. They're not revealed. But the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law. That's the Scriptures. How does God reveal truth? It's through the Scriptures. So there are secret things we can't know. We would call that God's sovereign will. But there are things that are revealed. We would call that God's moral will. So tonight, that's why we're talking about God's sovereign and moral wills. And I have found personally that people frequently get confused and struggle. For example, guy is praying, Lord, help me to date a certain girl. And then he meets a girl and he says, okay, I think it's God's will that I date her. And I'm always thinking to myself, you think it's God's will that you date her? What would that mean? Are you talking about sovereign will or are you talking about moral will? You say, well, I think it must be God's sovereign will. You can't know that because that's secret. You say, I think it would be God's moral will. Well, that would mean that you can show me in the Bible you're required to date her and not to date her would be a sin. You might say, oops, maybe I shouldn't have said it's God's will that I date her. And I would say, now I think you're thinking on a more theologically accurate level. Let's talk a little bit about that tonight, okay? Number one, God has a secret or sovereign will that we cannot know ahead of time apart from prophecy or divine revelation. We must trust him. So we're talking about two aspects of God's will tonight. God has a secret or sovereign will. You can't know it ahead of time. Apart from prophecy, if you asked me, do you think it's going to hit 80 degrees tomorrow? I would say, I don't know. The weatherman says it's going to come close. God knows. You say, how come you don't know? Because I don't know God's sovereign will. How could I know? Unless I have prophecy, is Jesus coming back one day? Yes, because the Bible tells me Jesus is coming back one day. So we can't know God's secret will. We can't know God's sovereign will. We have to trust him. Do I know if I'm going to live to be 70? Am I going to live maybe to be 80 or 90? I don't know. How could I know? God knows. That's all under his sovereign will. So what must I do? I must trust him because these are things I simply can't know. Scripture that teaches God's sovereign will, James 4:15. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that, right? Am I going to see you back Sunday? I would never just say yes because I don't know if I'll be here Sunday. A more biblical answer would be, if the Lord wills, I hope to come back Sunday and open up to Hebrews again. But I don't know if the Lord will that or not. That's under his sovereignty. So again, I must trust him. James 4:15 talks about God's sovereign will. Secondly, I think about the account of Joseph. And you remember the story of Joseph just real quick. His brothers basically beat him up, put him in the pit. They're going to kill him, later decide to sell him into slavery. And what happens? He goes to Egypt and God blesses him and things go really, really well. And God lifts him up. And then he encounters his brothers. Genesis 50 verse 20. As for you, Joseph said, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people alive. God's sovereign will was to bring Joseph to Egypt. Notice the wording. You meant evil against me. And they did. But God meant it for good. Same verb. God was sovereign in Joseph being abused by his family, being mistreated. Is God sovereign over the sin that we experience? Yes. God meant it for good. God is sovereign over all that takes place. We can't know his sovereign will ahead of time. We must trust him. The Bible teaches that God has a sovereign will. We can't know it. So if you were to come up to me and say, hey, Greg, we're going to buy a new house. I think it's God's will. I would say, okay, do you mean sovereign will? And if you said yes, then you would be claiming the gift of prophecy. And I would say, I don't believe you. I between you and me, I wouldn't. I would be thinking, you think you're a prophet. Probably not. Probably I would just be thinking you're confused on wording. We can't know God's sovereign will ahead of time unless we have prophecy or divine revelation, or perhaps unless you're a prophet. Now, personally, I don't believe we have prophets today, but that would be a different discussion. We must trust him. But secondly, God has a moral will that we can know. It's revealed in Scripture. we must obey him. Remember that text back in Deuteronomy? The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed in the scripture, we're talking about God's moral will. I can know God's moral will, and we must obey it. So, for example, God's word reveals God's moral will. How do we know God's moral will? Because it's revealed in his word. I think an excellent example of this is in Romans, right, chapter 2. Paul writing, if you bear the name Jew, rely upon the law and boast in God and know his will. I have often found that phrase fascinating. Know his will. Like, is it a genetic thing? If you're Jewish, you know his will. And if you're a Gentile, you don't? Of course not. And know his will and approve the things that are essential being instructed out of the law. How did the Jews know God's will? They were instructed out of the law. The Jews knew their Old Testament incredibly well. To know God's word is to know God's will. It's to know God's moral will. Because the Bible tells us what we are to do, and the Bible tells us what we're not to do. Okay? So God's word reveals his moral will. I'm going to go back to the dating illustration. If someone said to me, I think it's God's moral will to date this person, I would say, can you show me in the scriptures where it says, Greg, thou shalt date Nancy? And it's not there, so I don't know how you could say that. Now, caution, if you said, I think it's God's will that I date this woman who happens to be married to someone else, I would say that is contrary to God's moral will. If you were to say, I want to date somebody of the same sex, I would say contrary to God's moral will. There are many things the Bible says would be contrary to his moral will, but I certainly wouldn't want to claim that me asking Nancy out would be according to God's moral will. It would be within, right? It's certainly an option, but the Bible never clearly says, Greg, marry Nancy. So I would never say that was clearly God's moral will. The Bible reveals God's moral will. Secondly, we can know God's moral will, and we must do or perform or practice God's moral will. You say, give me an example of moral will. How about from what we call the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 7:21, first of all. Jesus' warning towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So who is a true follower of Christ? He who does the will of my Father. It assumes we can know that. That would be God's moral will. If we can't know God's moral will, this verse would make no sense. So we would be able to know God's moral will. We would be able to practice. We would be able to do God's moral will. We can know and must do God's moral will. Number three, this got ahead of myself a little bit earlier. Jesus taught us to pray that God's moral will would be done. You say, where do we see that? We see that in what is sometimes called the Lord's Prayer or the Disciples' Prayer. And that's, for example, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, where we are taught, Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, and then your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I'm taking that as a reference to God's moral will, not sovereign will. If we were praying, Lord, let your sovereign will be done, that would be praying, Lord, whatever's going to happen, let it happen. You don't have to pray that whatever's going to happen happens. Like praying for God's sovereign will would be saying, Lord, tomorrow, whatever the temperature is, let it be that temperature. We don't need to pray that. So this would be a reference. I'm taking this as God's moral will. Lord, would you let your moral will be done on earth as it is in heaven? You say, okay, so what would that include if I were praying for God's moral will? It would be praying for God's moral will, the commands of the scriptures to be embraced as people would what? What could we pray for and be confident it's in God's moral will? I would argue that people would repent of sin and trust Christ. I would argue that would be one aspect of God's moral will. He's not willing that any perish, but that all would come to repentance. And so I can pray with confidence. Yes, I believe it's God's moral will that people would put faith in Christ. I believe it's God's moral will that children would honor their parents. And just working through the Ten Commandments, the Bible teaches this is right, that children would honor their parents. We could be confident that's God's moral will. Thou shalt not murder. We can be confident that is God's moral will. We have command, thou shalt not commit adultery. We could be confident it's God's moral will that we not commit adultery. And we should not steal. And we should not bear false witness against our neighbor. And we shall not covet. All of those would be aspects of God's moral will. I could be confident of that. So if you said to me, Greg, you know, I'm thinking about stealing, I would say, don't do that. That's against God's moral will. If you said, you know, I'm going to bear false witness, I would say, well, don't do that. That's against God's moral will, and we could pray that you would not do that. At the same time, if you said, I'm thinking about dating this girl, I would say, pray about it. Do what you think would best honor the Lord. And if I asked you, why would you want to date her? You said, I know it's God's will. I would say, what will are we talking about? Sovereign will? Well, then you must be a prophet. And I don't believe you are. Moral will. Then show me what verse of the scripture says Greg shall date Nancy. I think it'd be better off just to talk a little bit more accurately and drop the whole idea of I'm going to date her because I know it's God's will. I think it would be better, perchance, I'll make this as best possible case, I believe it would honor the Lord. I would believe it's a godly thing to do. I believe the Lord would be pleased with me dating this person. No problem with that. And I think I would just drop the language of, I know it's God's will, which would typically betray that we're really not thinking well about what the phrase God's will means. So when we talk about God's will, what are we thinking of? We're thinking that God has a sovereign will. The secret things belong to the Lord. We can't know it ahead of time, so we trust Him. Okay? Will I be alive in 10 years, 20 years? I don't know. God knows. I trust Him. What do I know about God's moral will? Ephesians 5 tells me to love my wife as Christ loved the church. There's no doubt about that. I know it's God's will that I love Nancy and at least strive to love her the way Christ loved the church. You say, is it God's will that you stop after church tonight and get ice cream? I don't have a verse on that, even though it sounds like a great idea, guys, okay? I think I'd rather just say, let's get ice cream, rather than saying, I sense it's really God's will, unless that you have a verse that I'm not thinking of, okay? So God has a sovereign will. God has a moral will. We have a couple of questions to work through in our groups. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the teaching of your word. We pray that you would help us, Lord, to try to understand you better, to know you better, so that we can follow you more accurately, submit to you more fully, minister to one another more effectively. All for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.